You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine, proud to bring you our weekly wrap for the week of the 23rd of February. There's been a heap of activity in real estate this week with kickstarts and awards and also the big lead up to the first Super Saturday of the year, which of course, if you're listening in, is today. So to talk about this week's hits, misses and what's trending with me is Mark Edwards.
I'm back again.
Back again, two in a row.
I know, I feel lucky.
Lucky you. How's things with you this week?
Yeah, pretty good. It's been a, I seem to say this every week. It's been a cracker. It's been huge.
It has been.
There's just been so much going on, and you can just feel the energy is increasing throughout the entire industry.
Yeah, it is actually. There's lots going on. So let's kick off. There's been a lot of people moves and changes between this week and last. So we're still sort of playing a bit of catch up on things that have happened over the break, things that have come into the newsroom and stuff like that. So let's kick it off with Dexar Group have hired themselves a new COO. So what's interesting about him really is I don't think he's been in real estate that long, but Dexar Group, who own Lang & Simmons and all of those types of people, rather, they've gone out of their way to hire someone who is extremely good at big data.
Mm. Yeah, look, it looks like he's had some great experience with a number of organisations that generate a ton of data. A
ton of numbers. Mm. So, I think that, and that's the way that the world's going now, really, with needing to be able to analyse consumer preferences and what's happening on Facebook and where the trends are going and all that sort of stuff. So interesting hire by Dexar Group there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Biggin and Scott, they've announced that they're going to move from Victoria up into New South Wales and Queensland.
They're going to cross the Murray.
Yeah. in what?
So they've made their announcements. They're going to be moving up into New South Wales and Queensland. Look, it's a very impressive organisation down in Victoria, and I think they've currently got 35 offices currently in operation in the southern state. Yeah, so they're making a bit of a move up the. They've packed the caravan. They're moving north.
Moving north. So maybe we'll see Adam Flynn up here a bit more.
Yep.
McGraw, obviously there's been lots of news about McGraw over the last couple of weeks.
It has.
Some good, some not so good, but I guess in rebuilding new management team and all that sort of stuff, so McGraw have got a couple of new board members this week, which have been announced.
Yep.
Michael Connolly, who was head of property management there, for a long time, he's back on the scene. And I remember meeting Michael years and years and years ago, actually, when I used to work for Sold Magazine. Great guy, really, really good at the thinking strategy side of property management. And also a couple of newbies in Kevin Mendez and Imran Hamidi from the eastern suburbs have jumped over.
Yeah, I know. It certainly is looking as though there's a new influx of blood into the organisation and a renewed vigour as well.
Watch this space, hey?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ray White, lots always going on within Ray White. Obviously, they're one of the largest groups around the country. So we've got a new office in Gladstone Park, Malik and Philip.
They actually went to school in the area, so very local boys down there.
I think it's always an advantage in real estate when you can actually work in an area where you grew up, because you can't replace that hyper-local knowledge. Jed Xavier went back to his old hometown this week and got all nostalgic when he was on the phone with me about the corner store that wasn't there anymore. And I mean, people love that sort of stuff. Kate Zupicic has moved to the Double Bay office, and she's got a new sales associate that's joined her as well, Jai Emda.
Jai Emda. That sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it?
Like they should know if the price is right. Come on down.
Yeah, come on down.
Jai is, I think, Larry's son. So
yes, we had the opportunity to get out to the Ray White Double Bay 30th anniversary.
Larry was there,
so it was interesting to see that. And when we picked up the press release on this one, I thought there couldn't be too many Emdas around the place.
No, there's not too many of them.
Anyway, so good luck, Jay and Kate.
And also Ray White, there's a lot of kickoffs going on. Just note to people wanting to hold events in March, never a good idea. because all the franchise events are on. Ray White also had their corporate...
Yeah, it was their strategy day, wasn't it?
Up at Crow's Nest, which is where...
Not North Sydney Crow's Nest,
but Crow's Nest near Toowoomba in Queensland.
Yeah, the founding birthplace of Ray White, wasn't it?
Yeah, the old shed.
Mm.
And they sent us some great pics, which are up on the website, obviously. And obviously very humble beginnings for such a great company and a big organisation now. And I think it must, it must stir some emotions in people, I think, to think that it all started from that tin shed. I get why they would take them up there.
Yeah, I think we've done a couple of stories, and even Sonia Chalor mentioned that she had the opportunity to get up to the shed and said it was one of those, you know, sort of salt of the earth moments of getting to know the history of the organisation.
Mm. Definitely. Also in kickoffs this week, we've had Barry Plant also had their kickoff.
Yep.
And
they had quite an interesting guest speaker in there with Mick Malthouse, one of the premiership coaches of the AFL. You know, so speaking around leadership and leading teams by example, I think it's a very important part, you know, sort of a leadership style.
Mm, well, sport's always such a good metaphor for team building and leading teams and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, Spiro Drossos, who is director of Barry Plant Manningham, I mean, we've got a story in the upcoming issue on that office. Incredible office. They won the gold area for 2017 from the REA Awards. So really, really well done to those guys, and looking forward to seeing what they do this year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so keeping on going on with the awards and get-togethers, RE/MAX actually celebrated their 21 years this year from their first office opening in Australia, and they had their awards with over 550 of their people attending the event. You know, sort of to get their annual awards. So congratulations to everyone there.
All the award winners. And should make mention of Katie Knight, who is one of the broker owners of RE/MAX Success in Toowoomba. So she is part owner of, that's where Melita Bell's from, in Toowoomba. And so she won the Eagle Award, which is fantastic to see someone like Katie winning the award. She's been such a hard worker her such a great office. Again, you know, great, great job to you, Katie.
You were in New Zealand earlier on. Oh, actually, the end of last week, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I went to New Zealand to the Ray White Remuera Growth Conference. Mm. So that's Megan Jaffe, who is the number one international office for Ray White. So she had a great little event where she had some of the local officers, both Ray White and non-Ray White, come into her office. Incredible lady, by the way, so inclusive with everybody there.
So that was their office.
That was in their office. And I tell you, actually, you know, speaking of history and things like that, like that office, there's some people that work in that office who were impacted by the Christchurch earthquakes a few years ago. So there's actually some bricks in that office.
Oh, really?
From Christchurch, from what was rescued. Incredible building. Like 1927, it was the library. So they've restored.
Really?
You know, they've restored some of that. And she's deliberately gone out and made it a place where people can come in and feel like it's theirs. Mm-hmm. They can come in and feel like they're at home in the office. And she made us all very at home for the Thursday. So there was myself and a lot of other guests from Australia. It was almost like Australia descended on New Zealand for a day and brought the sunshine. But Ash Weston and Maddie Lancashire and Jason Andrew and Justin Nickerson and just some great people just really just sharing the knowledge. And that was a fantastic day.
I've got to admit, when you sent me a photo while you were actually there, I thought to myself, oh, well, this is like sort of a nice convention centre or you know, service meeting place or whatever.
Yeah, no, it was her office.
That was amazing. And a pretty damn good-looking dog really there
nice.
As well.
And there's something, oh, yeah, the dog. Everyone should have an office dog based on what I saw. So there was, you know, like this little dog that belonged to the receptionist. This dog is very active during auctions, takes, you know, runs around bidders and sort of, you know, like warms up the crowd and all sorts of things like that. It's pretty good. But actually, that's the point, is that the whole auction environment in that office is really good. It's actually just a bit like the block where if you're the vendor, it can be quite nerve-wracking for you and stuff like that when the auction's going on. So they actually have a bunch of rooms and the vendors can sit in the room comfortably.
Right.
And watch the auction on a TV screen.
What a great idea.
It is a great idea. It sort of makes everyone comfortable so they don't have to be in the big room, you know, sort of biting their nails and things like that.
Yep. Away from the prying eyes of the audience and the bidders.
Mm, but it works really well and it's such a great space, and I think it's proof that if you've got somewhere where people want to come to work, then it changes the culture completely of the office. So, you know, like, incredible job there. And, yeah, really, really fun day.
Yeah, it looked like you had a bowl of fun.
Well, you were here keeping everything going. Actually, no, you were in...
No, I was up in Queensland doing a shot.
You were filming Every Agent Has a Story.
Yeah, so...
How'd that go?
Yeah, good. Had the green screen up and managed to crash Tara Bradby's event and spoke to the organisers there to get ourselves a room beside it and set up the big green screen. Far too many lights.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a good day. Got some good stories, so keep in tune for that one. So I think 19th of March is that
19th of March is the release date. How was Andrew Koronis' story? Any giveaways there?
Yeah, it was a cracker. I think there's going to be a few people listening into that one.
Yeah, I can't wait. So what else has happened this week? So we've had a few trending articles this week.
The article of the week was Lewis.
Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lewis D. Ortiz, let's get that right, another international.
Yep.
So this is really in keeping with our theme of the international edition, right?
International edition.
So he obviously, he was selling alongside Frederick Eklund and his partner in Million Dollar Listing New York. And sensationally, at the end of last season, he said, "I don't want to do this anymore."
Yeah, hung up the belt and hung up the tour belt and said, "I'm out of here." Or probably sort of hung up the Versace suits and said, "I'm out of here."
Sounds like that Rihanna song I sing around Deadline. I don't want to do this anymore.
Actually, Nikki did a great interview. Nikki Horner did a fantastic interview with Lewis, and I think it really got behind why he actually made that decision. And importantly, I think to his indications, he may be actually looking at coming back.
Yeah, well, that's it. He just said his heart wasn't in property, and if with the hours that you keep and all that sort of thing, if your heart's not in it, you've got to get out. But then, I don't know, does property do something? Like, I've tried to get out a few times and have been unsuccessful.
It's like Hotel California, isn't it?
It's like a boomerang. You just keep coming back. But Lewis is on tour with the Altman brothers, obviously, and
East Coast meets West Coast.
East Coast meets West Coast. That's right. And we're looking forward to sort of catching up with Lewis and seeing what he does next.
Yeah. You'd have to have some incredible stories from that lifestyle and almost living your life under the scrutiny of the public, not what we are aware of, but just have every moment of your day documented.
Mm.
It must be incredible. And you can imagine why the guy would probably say, enough.
Yeah.
Need to have a life again.
Yeah, it's tough. But I think there's probably plenty of careers out there for Louise. I think there's plenty of careers out there, including Tarkov face mask model. Seriously, he's got the best skin on a man I have ever seen, hands down. So, really looking forward to seeing him and meeting the guys and watching their show Down Under.
Yeah.
So speaking of New York as well.
Keeping in the theme,
relatively new agent, also at McGrath, Nick Harrington, who's working in Elizabeth Bay. So Eastern Suburbs is really hot right now.
Seems to be all over the news at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah. So he's back, and he actually used to sell against those guys.
Mm.
Yeah, which must have been quite overwhelming, because not only would it have been stiff competition, but obviously, you know, really hard to get yourself known when everyone's talking about Frederick and those guys.
Yeah.
But he sort of says in the early days when he needed to compete with them, it was some wise advice from someone else to just start acting like them that set him on the road to success.
Mm.
He also says that the biggest difference between New York real estate and anywhere else is the caliber of the agents.
Mm.
And many of the most successful agents overseas had previously been attorneys, investment bankers, company directors, and they come to the industry with a Rolodex of wealthy clients that they spend their time servicing. So he says his biggest takeaway from his time in New York is the value of the long-term personal relationship, which we know to be key. but the game is a social game over there and far less transactional than in Sydney. So
very, very relationship driven, yeah.
Yeah, not what you know, but who you know.
If you don't have those relationships, build them by being part of the community.
Well, the other thing with him too is that he's multilingual. Mm. Like, he speaks German and French fluently as well. Mm-hmm. And expats, when they come to Australia, like a lot of them do, land in the eastern suburbs for the schools and things like that. So I imagine that's a big advantage for him as well. But heaps more from Nick online. And I think it's a really great story when you sold real estate in a number of places and you can relate that experience to coming home. I think that's really invaluable.
Another top performing story of the week was Tiffany Wilson's article on 5 ways to improve your Instagram account.
Yeah.
So there's been so much talk these days of Facebook, and sort of where it's going there. But Instagram is just such a sort of a powerful social media tool.
Mm. Well, I love Instagram. I love Instagram. Mm. I'm always sort of flicking through, but it's, I like looking at the Hungarian Vizslas and what they're up to,
Always a good way to put a smile on the dial, isn't it?
As well as the odd property, that's right. Yeah. So, Tiffany had some great tips for Instagram because it is quite, and we saw this with Emma Guthrie actually in the magazine as well. She's grown her following from 0 to 5,000. Be good to hear from her on the podcast on exactly how she did it. But a couple of things that I didn't know necessarily from Tiffany, and that is, if you maximise your searchability on Instagram by having in your handle the things that you want to be found by. So obviously we've got Elite Agent in our handle, so every time someone tags something with Elite Agent, that's how they find us.
Yep.
So I guess it would be really beneficial, I think, to do geolocations and things like that. Mm. If you're a real estate agent, make sure that you have your suburb name in your handle if you can, or in at least in your bio.
Well, there's some great tips in there as well, and even some of the simple stuff that you would think, should really do that.
Yeah.
Such as adding your contact details.
Yeah.
So people can get in contact with you.
Put your phone number in there.
Yep. And
don't make it an Easter egg hunt.
No one likes an Easter egg hunt unless it's at Easter.
No. It's just coming up.
Yeah, I know. The other things, simple things like making sure that you've got your images the right size, because you've got a great amount of pardon the pun, real estate on that screen.
Mm.
Why not utilise it in the way in which it's which you can possibly get the most out of it?
Mm. I was going to say the other thing that everyone's getting a lot out of at the moment is Instagram stories.
Mm.
So, that other aspect, how we weren't allowed to do vertical video and now it's almost a must because Instagram stories won't take anything that's not, the opposite of high def.
Yep.
Landscape. Mm. And what's happening with Instagram stories, anecdotally, and I've tested this myself, is that you can do so much with them. You can poll your users. People are just loving that snippety sort of content. I love scrolling through Instagram stories as well. Not that anyone's doing anything, like five-star spectacular on it or anything like that, but it's just actually good to sort of see daily lives.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
Well, you gave it a crack a couple of months or weeks ago, didn't you, with trying to document your day?
Yeah, that was that ridiculous Gary Vee challenge, though.
Mm.
where I was sort of trying to take selfies and do ridiculous things the whole day, which is too much, I think.
It's tough work, though, as well. And and that's one of the other things which, both Tiffany and a lot of other people saying, consistency is important. If you're going to do something, you need to commit yourself to doing it and doing it. You get better over time.
Mm.
Your brand needs to be there regularly in front of people so that they can actually sort of get to know you. You become memorable. You then become the go-to.
Mm.
So consistency is key.
Yes, you can't just post something on a story once one day or even twice and then when it doesn't work, stop.
Yeah.
You've got to keep going with it.
Yeah.
So what else have we got this week?
Well, we saw a new service that's been that sort of landed on our desk and look, it's really quite an interesting little product, this one.
B&B Guard.
B&B Guard.
Yeah.
Now, when you actually look into this, it's quite interesting because, sort of as a landlord, you would probably want hoping that, your tenants aren't going to be just basically sort of like subletting out the property and sort of
Well, it happens a lot, doesn't it, these days? Like
it does.
Even though there's laws against it in certain places, and there's council laws, and there's all sorts of things.
Yeah, and bylaws and strata laws and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, so
but
there's.
I heard.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. I heard that some people are renting properties these days with the express purpose of thinking about subletting them during times when they might be able.
Really?
Like, you've really got to watch it. Like, you know, I know some property managers now have got special Airbnb clauses in their lease agreements and things like that to combat it, but that usually fixes the honest people.
Yeah.
it's like having the best alarm system in the world. It usually keeps the honest people out, but not the other ones. And where there's a will, there's a way. But these guys reckon that they have a way to stop people subletting on Airbnb.
Yeah, from scratching the surface of this one, just doing the sniff test on it, it looks as though what they're doing is basically just doing a monitor of identified houses on Airbnb and then sort of like essentially raising the flag if they see the property that's supposed to be under a permanent long-term lease going up on the short-term lease market. It's lots of, you know, doing that sort of bank exchange of your money, you know, sort of goes on the short-term money market. Which is now no longer the case with the NPP, but that's another story.
That was interesting too, that whole NPP thing.
Like
the new payments. So
new
my
payment
deep
platform.
Dark past, yeah, like let's let the listeners into a few secrets. I used to work for a rental payment solutions company. Anyway, the old system.
I don't mean to laugh.
Yeah, so it used to be that you'd get most of your tenants paying by direct debit, but the banks, if I was to transfer you money and I'm with Westpac and you're with Commonwealth Bank, then the banks are going to play with it for at least a night.
Yep.
And I know that, you know, back from my time working at PwC, that the government have been working for a long, long time to be able to get Australia onto a payments platform which allows instantaneous transfers of funds.
So here's what I'm curious about.
Cleared funds, by the way. So this whole problem with the rental payments was that you would take money out of a tenant's account by direct debit and then you'd receipt it and then you wouldn't know if it was going to clear or dishonour.
And then if it dishonours or doesn't clear, then you've got to do the unreceipting and unreconciling and chase the tenant again and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
if you're basically saying that funds are going to be instantaneously transferred from point A to point B, you're no longer waiting for the guy in the back room with the stamp and the, you know, and the hat on and the glasses looking over a check.
Well, I think it's still, you know, there's still probably some situations of fraud which, you know, hopefully they've got covered off. I mean, rental payments are one thing, but in this day and age, like where the NPP, I think, is you know, an awesome idea, and it'll be interesting to see what apps people come up with. But Saturday auction, Super Saturday tomorrow, the banks are going to be really busy, or the banks would have been really busy Friday afternoon getting a whole lot of bank checks done because...
And now all you need is an email address.
So that whole putting a deposit on a property should hopefully change. I mean, it's going to require all the banks to get on board that platform. But that whole idea of taking a bank check to an auction on a Saturday is a bit ridiculous in 2018. So there's probably a lot of agents, auctioneers out there now that are probably looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some really, I won't say fun conversation, it'll be some engaging conversation around this to actually realise what the opportunity is around what this is going to mean, as you say, not only for the rental payment side of things, but also for, you know, for exchanges, deposits, auctions.
Managing arrears, like, you know, all that sort of thing. It'd be interesting to see what the trust account providers are going to do with, you know, that new payments platform technology that's available. And let's hope that the banks do jump on board because I think it's a really good move for Australia into the future.
Yeah.
And put it this way, when you start talking about things like cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, blockchain, all that sort of thing.
It doesn't have the time for waiting around for people to, you know, play with money for a while, does it?
Well, the other thing is like they were invented because they solved a problem. And the problem is the movement of money around and people not necessarily trusting the banks to do the right thing. It can only be a good thing, I think, that you can do the same thing with regular money that you could with blockchain, because obviously Bitcoin blockchain transactions are instantaneous and are forever written into the ledger forever, and hopefully this will do the same for regular money. So watch this space. Really interesting. We got a bit off track then, didn't we?
We did. How we got from Airbnb to National, the new payment platform.
Yeah.
Good.
Interesting week, hey? Okay, so let's get on to Super Saturday, shall we?
Yeah.
Is there anything exciting happening on Saturday? There are a lot more auctions going on this week or scheduled to go on this week that CoreLogic are tracking. Sydney and Melbourne, usually, as usual, the two busiest markets. Melbourne and Sydney are the two busiest capital city auction markets this week, with 1,400, nearly 1,500 auctions scheduled in Melbourne and 1,100 or so in Sydney, which is up
big
from,
increases, aren't they?
Yeah, big increases. So last weekend there was 932 auctions in Melbourne, so that's it's 1.5 times the number. And in Sydney, 737, so that's up about 400 on 700, so that's quite a bit as well. So there's some different views of what's going on over the weekend. Cooley's, who are one of Sydney's biggest and most respected auction houses, they're sort of saying that the sentiment's changing and that the power's sort of shifting towards the buyers rather than the sellers. Then you sort of go talk to some other types. I mean, well, Tom Panos, he does auctions on a Saturday, and he sort of said that the tide had turned, that there wasn't the urgency with buyers last Saturday, because he was sort of saying, well, there's been a bit of a shift here, folks, in that buyers are more prepared to wait.
Yes.
Like, and that's the shift, we'll wait.
Hands are in the pocket.
Not that, oh, we've got to get on this one. Yeah. That sort of means you're going to have to work a bit harder for your vendors,
and making sure you got the right bidders there, or potential bidders at the auctions.
Yeah, so checking in with Gavin Rubenstein this week, who's also over there in the eastern suburbs, in that crowded eastern suburbs market that we've been talking about today. So he, I mean, you know, like he sort of showed $70 million worth of property over 12 open for inspections just this week. Also McGrath, like, so across their footprint, Adrian Bowe, he's said that there are is a bit of an upswing in their auction numbers leading into Easter compared to the same period for 2017. So that may mean more than one Super Saturday in the lead up to Easter, which is pretty interesting. So, so you know, some varying views of what's going on around the place with, in terms of auctions. And I guess wherever you are, you know, I think the markets, obviously, they're different. So you look in the eastern suburbs and it's prestige property where things are always going to be really popular and sought after. I guess what's interesting is always the voice of reason, Mark McLeod. We call him one of the three wise men of real estate. When things get a bit slower, I think, you know, and I remember him saying this in Transform last year, when things get a bit slower and you don't have as many listings in the window as you used to, your inclination is to think, I need more listings. But in actual fact, as Mark sort of says, you need to manage your stock to make sure that the cash flow remains. So you don't want to end up with a lot of listings that aren't selling. So
not able to move them.
Yeah. So that article from Mark is also a very interesting read with some good tips. And if you're in doubt about what Mark's saying in that article after you've had a look at it, it's a good idea to sort of backtrack to his highlights from Transform last year. He says that he often hears agents saying it's taking a bit longer to sell, that's okay, but no, it's not okay, because what he's saying is that very few people understand that an extra 10 days on the market can affect turnover by up to 30%, and, you know, that's the stuff that he was talking about in Transform. And, you know, that really the metric that you've really got to look at in this market where, you know, things might be shifting is your days on market. Well, you've really got to focus on the obvious, and this is also where you need to get out your good negotiation skills, because this is where a buyer says, you know, when a buyer sort of wants to offer something that the vendor won't accept, This is where the good agents and their good negotiation skills will be able to bring the parties together for a good result for everybody. And that's where you earn your money, right?
So why this industry is absolutely necessary in the transaction of property.
Absolutely. So great stuff from Mark. If you're finding your market is changing, then, you know, I really recommend that you go take a look at some of the things he had to say, and particularly this article on managing stock, because there's some really good tips in there for everyone.
Yeah.
For this weekend, well, I think we'll leave it there for this week, hey, because everyone needs to get out there for Super Saturday. Have we asked Google what the weather is? Let's hope the sun's out, the birds are chirping, and it's not too hot.
Absolutely. So whatever you're doing, have a great weekend, and may all the success be with you.
Yeah, may the force be with you. Have an awesome one.
All right. And happy birthday, Sam.
Oh, gee, thanks. I thought you were never gonna mention it.
Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.